Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family. I'm Cassie Schrader, sitting in for Tom Bernard, and to the right of me.
Oh, like people need to know where I'm sitting in relation to you?
Yep.
It's Doug Sprinthal.
That's Bernard Rasmussen.
Catherine Brandt with Jude the Cavvy on my left.
Judy.
Judy's happy to have a field trip.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
Well, basically, we're trying to represent people who have been hurt, then talk to them before they talk to an adjuster. One of the key points is to make sure you know what your rights are before you start talking to the insurance company, and they start asking you questions or they try to settle your case early and cheap.
Well, what's interesting to me is, you know, a lot of people have fear of attorneys. It makes them very uncomfortable. They get nervous about it. What should I do? I've known Michael for years and years now, and I would highly recommend you. So that should be good enough for everybody, because I don't endorse people who are dirtbags.
Well, I appreciate that. But I guess the key is people think I'll charge them if I talk to them.
Right.
So a lot of people call me up. It's like, how much is this going to cost if you call me back? Like, you want me to call you back? How much will that cost? I don't charge people. The only way I get paid is if we recover, if we get money from the other side. And there's a lot of people I talk to that I never get paid for that are just part of giving them advice to make sure they know what they can do and what their rights are.
And your record's terrific as well, we should point out.
Well, it works. It's been good.
It's been good, ladies and gentlemen.
It's been good.
And how do they contact you?
Either through our website, which is minnesotapersonalinjury.com, minnesotapersonalinjury.com, or at 800-770-7008.
Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
Okay,
so Doug.
Yeah, Doug.
So what's new at Walls,
are you
asking? Yes.
Actually, we have some exciting stuff to talk about. I was teasing Tom this morning. We have two dealerships in the Twin Cities that specialize in older, high-mile, less expensive cars. They're both called the same thing, Walls or Experienced Auto. One of them moved into their new home in the old Subaru store on Cliff and 35W. We outgrew that and had to build another store. The other one's up in Brooklyn Park between Mills Fleet Farm and Walmart up there in 81. So they specialize in older high-mile cars. And this month we've added something new to those vehicles. If they're under 150,000 miles, they come free of charge with a three-month, 3,000-mile warranty, which is really kind of a good deal. Normally when you buy a car that's over 80,000 miles, they're sold as is. But at Walser, we will take care of people. It's a powertrain warranty. It's got roadside assistance. So it's pretty groovy. You can get more information at walser.com.
Walser Automotive, walser.com.
I'm supposed to laugh when you say that, Cassie.
Da da da.
Hee hee hee.
I am so happy that Tom Bernard is doing his meetings because he's been a wreck.
I swear, this month has just been. I think this is
stressy.
My busiest month I've had in probably 10 years.
We were just talking about that. I was just talking about that with Doug before the show. I was like, okay, so we had the wedding. My mom had health issues, blah, blah, blah. So I had to run down there. Wedding. Now Tom's, you know, talking to the powers that be at
Cumulus,
blah, blah, blah. And then it'll be his birthday. Andy's birthday. We go to Nashville for KQ.
Don't forget my birthday.
Your
birthday. That's right in there,
that's
too.
A national holiday. Can't forget that.
Isn't yours like the 8th?
5th.
5th. Okay.
And then the holidays begin.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, it's
can
just endless.
We get back from Nashville and we have that Halloween hayride thing with the kids that night.
That's always fun.
That is fun.
Those
but
are
it's
cool.
Like,
you know what, though? The one we go, our friend of ours runs Midland Hills Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Ivory, he's a great guy.
I've talked to him a couple
and we,
times.
And we get to go to the haunted hayride. When Vaughn, and it's actually a little bit scary. I mean, they try to make it a little bit scary.
Babies and they like and skeletons jump out at you.
And we've been taking Fonda this now. This will be her third year, right?
Yeah.
And the first year she was she's waving at all the zombies. They got blood dripping from their, you know, wounds in their head. And she's like, hi. As a baby. I'm wondering if this year she'll notice that they're supposed to be scary.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, there was like a zombie baby that would leap.
What are you doing?
You okay? Well, it's just a Gatorade down. That's all.
There's a zombie baby.
Flick the other way, Cassie.
Statue thingy that its eyes.
Sorry. Zombie baby.
And its eyes glow red and it looks horrible. And the first year she walks by, she goes, that baby is sick.
So when they get a little older, when Sage gets to be 5 and Fawn will be, what, 7?
Yeah.
And if the weather's nice, this is the best thing we ever did on Halloween. We loaded the kids into the minivan and drove up to Crocus Hill in St. Paul, where Summit Avenue is. The people that live there go all out. I mean, there's graveyards, there's people on the roofs with microphones and witches and with cauldrons with, you know, and some of them were so scary that my son, who was probably 8 at the time, which means Ellie and Liam would have been 4 or 5, so go, I think this house might be a little too scary for my little sister, Eleanor. Perhaps we should go to the next one. And Ellie didn't care. She just walked right up there. It was really cool. I mean, those mansions are just great.
Yeah, Osseo, too. That's like they call themselves Anoka. Anoka. I get the two mixed up all the time. They call themselves the Halloween capital of the world or something.
Yeah,
and that's supposed to be really fun.
Yeah, they do like a big parade and everything.
That sounds fun.
It's huge.
Because that window is small, that kids really enjoy that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they hit about 10, it's kind of over.
Yeah, I think Andy was 11 and he said he wasn't going to go trick-or-treating anymore. And I'm like, I was like, I started to cry. I'm like, you have to go. You didn't give me any warning that you weren't going to go. And he's like, well, what am I going to be? I didn't buy the costume. So he ended up putting on, I don't even know where, he got like a black t-shirt, black pants, and he was a Dark and Stormy Night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was really pathetic.
Johnny the Invisible Pedestrian. Great costume, Mom.
Because he was so like, I'm like, Andy, it was too cool for trick-or-treating at 11. My life is over.
My son did the same thing. He says, well, Dad, I could go as a sullen teenager.
I know.
That's not funny. A costume, however.
I got my 15-year-old who wants to dress up like Randy Macho Man Savage and go trick-or-treating. He still loves to dress up and go trick-or-treating. It's weird.
I liked it till
I was older.
I know, and I was always tall. So I mean, you know, it's like people answer the door and they look at me like, you know, what are you, 40? And I'm like, I'm 11.
40-year-old trick or treating.
But I didn't want to stop either, ever.
I know.
It's fun.
I know, it's super fun. She keeps on asking me, is it going to be a spooky night?
Oh.
I'm like, no, it'll just be fun.
Well, and she's also seen some shows now where it's like they say, I'm scared, and, you know, introducing that kind of feeling to her. And she's been saying sometimes, I'm scared, like for fun.
Yeah.
But I think she'll definitely connect the dots, I think, this year, maybe.
You want to hear something horrific? And this is horrific. I couldn't imagine. A family's basement has been filling with blood for weeks. Now, could you figure out what's causing their basement to fill up with blood?
What family? Where are we?
I think it's
just
in
somewhere.
Iowa.
Oh,
this is the
family.
Downside to living next door to a meat locker.
Oh!
Yeah! I would flip out. That's gotta smell great, too.
Oh, God.
Oh,
basement filled with animal blood.
Yeah. A meat locker. I thought all that was bled out before they deliver it to the...
And this is in Iowa. It says, if you're dealing with a basement water leak this fall, thank your lucky stars. As the Des Moines Register reports, an Iowa family has much, much worse, having discovered 5 inches of animal blood, fat, and tissue from the neighboring meat locker.
Fat and tissue.
In the basement.
That makes it better.
Through the floor drain. So it came up through the floor. Oh. That sounds like a horror movie.
That is a horror movie.
It probably smells.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
You need to get one of those restoration cleanup companies to come in and really.
They have a video. Smacking lawsuit all over the place. Oh, that's disgusting.
Speaking of the Des Moines Register, I just read the story last night. you guys know about the bicycle ride across Iowa. It's called Ragabye or something like that. They've been doing it since 1970. And you can join it, and you can either do the whole state or part states. It's incredibly popular. So the Des Moines Register started it in 1970 and sponsored, and they have, you know, planners and so on and so forth. Now, this is the same paper that when that kid had the GoFundMe deal for a case of beer, found all these racist texts that he did as a teenager. So the people that admin the ride across Iowa for the Des Moines Register quit en masse yesterday because they were mad at the reporter that did this.
Oh, God.
And now they're starting a secondary ride across Iowa called I mean, come on.
People are so petty today.
How many chill pills can you get in, like, a crop duster? And there's time to go bomb Des Moines.
Well, how about the whole world?
Well, we could start with Des Moines and see if it works.
I mean, seriously, it's like you can't just delete a whole an entire event because of the actions
Something
of one person.
Something has been going on for 50 years,
Absolutely.
And it has nothing to do with this kid.
I don't understand.
There's so many things like that, though. It's like, you know, yoga studios and groups of people that it's like, oh, I don't like the way that you did this, so I'm going to do the exact same thing that you did, but just different because I'm mad at you. It's like, oh, my God.
I know. I don't know what's happened to people. They just... I just can't understand. Forgive and forget, or just move on with your life, or live and let live. All those sayings.
All the things.
Or about, I'll give you something to complain about.
Yeah.
That's what we really need.
That's what I grew up with.
Bring back spanking.
Yeah. God, can you imagine?
Oh, God. I'm still looking at that.
Looking at the basement.
I had a friend. I knew somebody that just spanked her kids whenever they wanted, whenever they needed, whenever they wanted.
Please
spank me. She'd be in the middle of a store and just be like, I'm not putting up with this. I can't even imagine today if you did that.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be arrested.
You'd have a SWAT team.
You'd have CPS at your door. I mean, even it's gotten to the point where if you yell at your kids in public, people will call the cops on you.
Hey, Max, let's verify the story. Does your mom ever yell at you?
No.
Never.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. No, he's a pretty good kid.
You've got him trained to lie. Good job.
Oh, he can ruffle my feathers.
Yeah. Oh, he just gave me this cute little smile like, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
I know how to do that.
I just can't say things out loud in public, I've been told.
No, I don't like... I usually do the really mean face in public, and I do that where you grit your teeth and you talk really low.
Oh, my dad had the lower jaw went out, and he would reveal his lower teeth, and that was like, oh, no.
I just had to do that to him at the gas station because he wanted gummy worms, and I'm like, no, you don't need gummy worms. It's too much sugar. You just had Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, Max.
I'm like, have something a little bit healthier. Why don't you get, like, the Ritz peanut butter crackers? I said, you need protein at least. And he wanted a pop. And I'm like, no. And
That's gas station food.
I know.
Yeah, don't bring kids in gas stations.
I'm afraid of gas stations. I don't like going in gas stations.
I don't think
they
I've been in
me out.
I only go into gas stations for, like, a coffee or something if I'm on a road trip. Never go in. I'm too tempted by the Cheetos or something.
Where do you buy your pork rinds at?
I don't buy them.
How do you get Funyuns?
You can get those at the grocery store,
Funyuns,
by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to walk this very fine line as a parent, you know, and the schools teach the kids, too, that, you know, if your parents yell at you or make you feel like you're an awful person, that's abuse. That's abuse. They can't. I'm like, no. That's our job as parents to correct our kids' behavior.
Well, what do you do when you have a kid like Andy? Andy,
wait till he gets married in 31 years.
I would give Alex, you know, the look, and she'd be like, you know, devastated. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just stop. I would give Andy the look. Like you're in church, and he's, you know, doing something ridiculous and making tons of noise. I give him a look, and he'd go, what?
What's your problem?
I'm like, the look on my face reflects the attitude that I'm having towards you. You need to learn to read that. What are you talking about?
It's louder.
I know. I don't understand this. Arms going akimbo. It's like, okay, so I just made it a lot worse just trying to address it.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. in my household, it's really tough because I have like, you know, six kids in the house.
Yeah, you've got
so many different personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to, I have to approach each kid differently.
Yeah, like with, totally. Yeah.
With discipline, with just everyday parenting stuff. And it's tough. It's tough. Luckily, you know, my one son, my middle one, Charlie, I always say, if I knew every child I had would have been like him, I would have had 20 kids. He's like the perfect.
Well, you're over halfway there.
True. But no, like, he never cried. He always listens. I could give him the look, and he's like, oh no, I better knock it off, you know, if I give him the look.
How old is Charlie?
He just turned 13.
Okay. Things might change.
I don't know. They
might change.
She's taking 30-minute long showers.
Don't take it personally.
I want to know.
That'll be the first step. Because Sarah's oldest was the oldest kid we had in the house, and he went through the change about a year after we got married. And she came to, she goes, something's wrong with Brennan. I said, what's the matter, hon? She goes, you know, he's in the shower twice a day, and he burns through the, and we have a new hot water heater, and he burns through the whole thing. I said, do you want me to tell you what's going on?
It took me 6 months to realize what that was, too.
I said, I don't take half-hour showers at my age, but it's common with boys, and you just don't do anything. It's okay. No,
yeah, absolutely.
I can't handle that. I can't. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to.
See, I'm the type of parent that'll, like, sit with them and be like, your body is all this stuff.
Are you kidding me? I tried to talk to you about anything. You run screaming. Screaming. Yeah. I actually tried. I bought a book about all the little changes that are going to happen because she would not speak to me.
No, I was such a
I'm trying to have the conversation. So I buy her a little book because I'm like, girls need to know this stuff. Kids need to know this stuff because it's all scary and it happens quickly all that. So I put the book on her bed. You know, she doesn't want to talk to me. She'll get some information from a book. Go up there a couple days later, check to see what kind of disaster the rooms are. Book's in the trash.
Oh.
Book is in the trash.
I want your weird puberty book.
There was a popular one in the 70s. Was it Our Bodies, Ourselves? It seemed like every girl read that.
That would have been a little bit...
What was that one?
That's older.
Dear God, It's Me, Margaret, or whatever.
I don't remember which one it was. I really don't know. I can't remember, but I just remember thinking.
Listeners, if you have a great puberty book you'd like to share with call. What is the number? Is it 612? What's the number, Cassie?
It's 612-295-1526.
I think I'll write a new one. Activism and puberty. How you can combine the two.
Puberty
and stay
the
sane
internet.
As a parent.
I have an interesting book that I've been reading Fawn about, like, because she's at the age, you know, where it's like you have to teach her about, like, what's appropriate with, like, other, like, you know, like, people shouldn't touch certain places.
Yeah, and you shouldn't grab your crotch when you're out in public.
Yeah.
Or boys like have a tendency to sometimes
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, or just take your clothes off. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Fawn is a nudist kid. So I'm like,
I've got a couple of twin nieces that up until they were about seven, they would just.
Yeah,
I'm like, twins are running naked through your front yard again.
I'm like, you can be naked around certain people, but other people you need to keep your clothes on. I was like, some people it makes them uncomfortable, and some people it's just like you don't know them that well, and you just need to keep your body covered.
This one is Mr. You know, call him Mr. Tidy Whitey. He just loves being in his underwear.
Yeah,
I can have.
At least he's got underwear on.
That's okay.
Yeah, so Fawn will strip and like try to straddle your head. It's like, I don't. This is a little weird, kid. She's like, she doesn't. Yeah. She's just like, I'm just playing naked. She doesn't think anything of it at all. No. And I don't ever say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty soon, if she thinks that she can maybe whip off her clothes when she's hot. Preschool is going to become a problem.
No, she knows that. She knows that she's always been, she's never tried to take her clothes off in the middle of, you know, the store or anything.
Oh, good.
No, it's always just at home.
Because you were like that, too. You were a little nudie patootie, too.
Yeah.
It must be in the gene pool.
Yes, yeah,
must be.
I'm hot. I'm going to take off my clothes. Well, Tom, you know, he does the morning show. A lot of times I come in there, he's in a T-shirt and his underwear. It's a glorious sight.
It's like the Tony Soprano of morning radio.
I know. Great big headphones, a T-shirt.
Smoking a cigar.
And I know. I'm like, if I took photos of this, it might ruin your career.
That's a look.
Well, now they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I raised three boys, and, yeah, you know, they like to touch themselves in public, and it's just like...
Have you ever been to a baseball game?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's just, I'm like, why? I call them out right in public. I'm like, how would you like it if I started playing with my boobs all over the place in public? They're like, oh, my
why
God.
Why are you looking at me?
You know what I mean? It's like, stop. Do you have to go to the bathroom? No. Yeah, well, then knock it off. You know, it's just, I'm like, what are you doing? Playing the banjo? What's going on down there? It's just, boys are weird. Boys are weird, but I love them. So, but we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you're one of those folks out there still putting up with contact lenses or dealing with glasses, think just for a moment, what would it be like to wake up to a clear morning and experience your day with all the freedom LASIK brings? Well, I'm living proof. That dream can come true. Tom Bernard here for Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract. With the new year right around the corner, it's time to set your sights on 2020 vision. Get $500 off LASIK through the end of the year at Whiting Clinic. If you're like me, not a big fan of glasses and contacts, then it's time for you to find out if you're a candidate for LASIK. Call 855-554-2020 or visit whitingclinic.com for your free LASIK consultation. The great people at Whiting Clinic will take fantastic care of you, just like they did for me. Imagine 2020 by 2020 and let 2020 be your best year yet with $500 off LASIK at Whiting Clinic.
Offer expires December 31st, 2019. Both eyes only, cannot be combined. Results may vary.
Tom Bernard with my buddy and CEO of North American Banking Company, Michael Bilski. Tell me, Michael, we've been talking about North American Banking Company for a few years now. One thing we've discussed is that the bank is locally owned and operated. Well, how does that benefit your customer?
Tommy, projects and opportunities for expansion come up quickly for business owners. A locally owned and managed bank like North American Banking Company means decisions can be made just as quickly. We know Minnesota. We live in the communities we serve. So we have experience and firsthand knowledge for what's happening in your life where you live. That means decisions are made here. We don't ship them off or pass the buck someplace out of state. Finally, getting our customers quick answers allows them to take decisive action, and that's how business gets done.
Man, Michael, you're getting good at this.
Practice makes perfect.
Perfect? Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company? A better banking experience, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
We're back with the Tom Bernard Show and a timer, new timer, and music. Come on, Cassie. Can't you do 10 things at one time?
You would think I could get together.
There you go. Good job.
I tell you, there's like a sweet spot. Like
yeah,
right
there is
here.
A sweet spot.
It's like this imaginary.
What was the matter with the old timer?
This is the old timer, isn't it?
I think it's just the angle of...
Wherever the receiver thing is.
Yeah.
Which so, I don't know where that would be either. You can't really tell.
And I'm short. I know when we were on the fifth floor, it was behind the camera. I had to stand up to do it because I wasn't tall enough.
Oh, okay.
So, short people problems.
You got no reason to live.
I was going to say. Short
people got it's been written
no
about.
Reason.
I know. We're moving right now, which is just fun. And, I'm trying to find places for everything, and I look, and I have tons and tons of cabinet space, but the only thing the places fit are on high shelves, and I'm like, dang it, I don't want to put it up there.
Well, you're going to
have to get a step stool.
Well, I'm guessing that's just standard daily use for you is a little step stool, right?
Yeah, I have one of those like little foldable pop-out ones where I can just kind of take it wherever I need to go in the house.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have tall boys in the house.
Yeah.
You know.
Just get this for me.
My 15-year-old is a whole head taller than me.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I know. It's weird when your kids become taller than you And, you know, when I'm trying to, like, talk to them in a serious manner, they just look down at me, and I'm like, I can't.
Doug hasn't had that problem, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, never had that. Well, I think I passed my mom when I was about 9 or 10. Yeah.
No, well, no, your kids aren't as tall as you, right?
Ellie is 5'7", and Wes is, he might be 6 feet now. He's close.
Oh.
But he's 19, so he might be, could be the end of the road. Bit. You never know.
You never know. That's true. Oh, there you are. Sorry.
Have you guys seen that? Two shift subjects. Have you seen Yesterday?
Yes.
I just watched that last night. What a cute movie.
It is very cute. You know what? And Tom said it didn't do that well at the box office.
Well, we saw it on Netflix. I mean, it was a $5 rental, and I thought, man, or Amazon, one of the two.
Oh, yeah, where you have to pay, yeah.
I think I did not see it at the movie theater either. I think, I streamed it.
So it came to streaming services really quick.
Yeah, really quickly.
So, and I thought it was such a good movie. I was really surprised that it didn't do better.
I loved it.
Like Dad said, nobody knows, like younger people don't know who the Beatles are.
You know, it's funny because Wes and Ellie are here this week. And I said, we're going to watch this movie Yesterday. And they knew about the movie. Said, okay, we'll watch it with you. And they stayed through the whole thing. And
did they like it?
Yeah, they liked it a lot. I mean, they got all the inside jokes the Ed Sheeran jokes that I didn't understand.
Oh, yeah.
They kept cracking up. I'm like,
what's happening?
Oh, I forgot about that whole part. Yeah.
Ed Sheeran being,
I know. He showed up and I'm like, What's happening?
Yeah.
Who's the guy that played?
I don't know his name.
Main character.
Oh, look it up.
Eastern Indian guy. He was great.
Yeah.
He was very good.
I thought
I'm glad
he was
they fixed
really
his teeth,
good.
Though. I thought, boy, is he going to go through the whole movie missing two?
I know.
I'm a reverse rabbit.
I know. Like some sort of weird reverse rabbit.
No, that was really an excellent movie. That should have done better, and people should watch it. It was sweet, it was funny, and it was interesting. The whole premise was that there was some power outage.
Yeah, around the world.
Worldwide power outage, and only like 5 people remembered who the Beatles were.
Right. And this one guy who was a sort of an amateur singer-songwriter who could never get any gigs gets hit by a bus, and he wakes up, and he realizes that nobody knows who the Beatles are, and he starts... supposedly
performing.
Or performing Beatles songs, but he has to remember because everybody knows Beatles songs, but if you were to sit down and figure out by yourself what are the lyrics to Eleanor Rigby, it would take you a while.
Oh, yeah.
Not me.
I sing that all the time.
Yeah,
I'm also very weird with lyric remembering.
Yeah.
Well, you have a good musical memory. That's all that means.
But
his name is Himesh Patel.
Himesh?
Himesh.
Yeah, he was great. I really liked him a lot. It was just an awesome movie, I thought. And the thing, it's really not a spoiler alert. It's been out for a year, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
When they find John Lennon.
Yeah.
Tom actually went, because it looked,
it
at
look
first,
like
it was
old,
like.
If John Lennon was 75 or 80, he'd probably look like that.
Yeah. My memory is probably a little foggy on the movie because I actually watched it, I don't know, 6 months ago or something like that. Did the Beatles know that they were the Beatles?
No. No, he was just a
Beatles
guy.
Beatles music had never been written. It was never even a thing.
So he was just a guy that painted in his retirement cottage by the sea.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if they took that opportunity to like blend in and not have the fame anymore. I was a little fuzzy on that.
Beatles had never met. They never...
Yeah, that was just a weird concept.
And the weird thing was...
That,
and he was never killed because he was never famous.
World,
that's right, he was alive. All right, right.
They didn't drink Coke. Nobody knew what it was.
Yeah, there were a couple things
And they didn't know what cigarettes were.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, there were a couple other things that people were like... He was like, what?
So the ending was cute. When he says, oh, it sounds like a Harry Potter novel. And his girlfriend goes...
Harry Potter,
what's that?
Didn't know what Harry Potter was.
And he Googles Harry Potter, and it's some World War I soldier, and he goes,
Yeah.
Already? We just were here, and now we have a Comcast bill already?
Well, yeah, they don't play
around.
We've
been here 1 minute.
Right.
Here's your bill.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that was a super cute movie.
It was very cute, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there are too many movies like that anymore where you just are like, oh, my God, that was just a great, fun movie.
Yeah.
That everybody could enjoy.
It seems to be the modern thing where they're doing. I do want to see that Springsteen movie as well. It's about young Pakistani kids mm-hmm. in London that are being bullied and stuff. And
what?
It's Blinded by the Light.
It's supposed to be really good.
It was very much like yesterday. Dave and I enjoyed both of them.
Okay, so you saw both of them.
Yeah, and I saw both in theaters, and I thought the Blinded by the Light movie was done brilliantly.
Oh.
It was, yeah, it's about, Pakistani
kid in London.
And in the 80s.
You can pet him.
One of his friends introduces him to Bruce Springsteen's music, and it just kind of opened him up, and he really related to the music.
Okay, now tell the truth. Did you watch it with Dave?
Yes, I did.
Was he bawling like a baby?
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Dave has a very strong connection with
Bruce. He's told the story a few times.
Yes, when he was a teenager, he was suffering from depression, and he was going to commit suicide. And he actually had the gun, and it jammed and did not go off. And then he started listening to Dancing in the Dark. And at first, it didn't really, he's kind of heard the song before, but it was kind of that pop music. It just didn't register.
Mm-hmm.
But having that moment and then listening to the song and really understanding the lyrics, he said that song saved his life.
Wow.
So he's had a good connection with Springsteen music, and he loves them. And I like Bruce Springsteen. I mean, yeah, granted, he's not the greatest singer, but his lyrics, that's what I love. It's like poetry. It's like Dylan.
Well, John Lennon wasn't a great singer either. Paul McCartney can sing.
Yeah. Yes.
But he happens to be able to write some pretty good tunes.
Yeah, but like, like Bob Dylan. Yeah. Bob Dylan, he was a lyricist. He was a poet that went to music.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at Bruce Springsteen. I mean, if you look really in depth into some of his songs, it's like, wow. You know, so, I don't know, we listen to Springsteen together. Usually we'll nap to the Nebraska album or something.
Oh my God, really? That's a little dark.
I know. Well, the melody of the music's very mellow, you know. But,
that's got that song about the highway patrolman on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the song of the Nebraska, I think, is about a serial killer or something like that. As some of his music can be like dark and dank, but the movie I thought was really well done, and like Yesterday too. I loved Yesterday. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant way to write a movie.
And another way of introducing that music mm-hmm. to a new generation that doesn't give, they don't really care about
old music.
Well, Bohemian Rhapsody did the same thing for Queen music. My kids love Queen. They're constantly blasting Queen music throughout the house because of that movie. Because they loved it.
Can I guess which song? Is it Tie Your Mother Down?
No.
I love that. That's a great tune.
My son Jack loves that Don't Stop Me Now. He's so funny. Oh, yeah. He'll come into a room with it playing, and he does like Freddie Mercury. He's all like theatrical and, you know. But yeah, I'm really digging these biopics of musicians. I mean, I wish the Elton John movie, what was it? Rocket Man.
I just saw that on the airplane on the way back from seeing
my
mom.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
I thought it was great, but I didn't see the same connection with the younger generation as with Queen and Yesterday.
Yeah.
It kind of fell into like a crack. But,
And I think Lammers mentioned that the guy that played Elton John, he wasn't the greatest voice for.
I thought he was a better singer than Elton John, actually.
Really?
Elton John
produced that.
Yeah.
I was like,
Elton John knows he's not the greatest singer.
I think
his husband
produced
songs.
It, I think.
His name was on it. Maybe both of their names were on it.
His husband is David
But I just was so shocked during most of that movie because, I don't know, I think I lost kind of track of Elton John after Crocodile Rock.
Yeah. When he gets married to the woman, she was like, what?
I know. I had my headphones on and I'm like, I gasped. Yeah. I was like, what's he doing marrying a woman?
Michael Jackson got married the same day.
I was floored. And then there was another part of his life that I didn't know about. I really did lose track of him after Crocodile Rock. I did not like that song. I was like, he's gone commercial. I'm over him.
I want to know what happened.
And I didn't know that he wasn't with Bernie Taupin.
Yeah. I want to know what happened.
I thought
to
that
Bernie.
They were a couple.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they
yeah,
they did
Bernie
a little
just kind of split up and
yeah, they did a little thing at the end about Elton's been married and
yeah, but nothing
sober for 25 yeah. years and I, you know, that he's been loved properly.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they've
yeah,
kids.
That was Sarah's part
kids.
Of favorite part of Rocket Man was the gay sex scenes. She took her glasses off and then had to put both hands over her eyes so just so no gayness would get in. Well, it's tough when you work in a church, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
So no gayness would get in.
God, I thought that
See,
was all very mild compared form. To Shameless.
Yeah.
I've never watched Shameless.
Oh, there's a lot of like, what am I seeing right now? I don't want to
oh,
see.
Oh, she tried to watch Fleabag a couple of weeks ago. Have you seen
I
that?
I don't know.
Fleabag. I watched the first episode of the first season, and I was like, I can no, nope, nope, nope.
The
and
opening
then,
scene, the protagonist is basically having anal sex yeah. with some guy that she picked up.
And she's oh. just laying there.
And she's actually very yeah. funny,
is,
but it's
is
super
it a,
naughty.
What is it?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
so,
it won. Oh, sorry, she won Judith? Tons of Emmys. She won.
Who is she?
I don't know.
Her
know.
Name
Phoebe?
Is Phoebe Waller something.
Yeah. Okay.
And she wrote it, starred in it, and produced it. And she's very talented.
It's done now. It was
and
two seasons, and now it's over.
She hosted SNL, and she oh, really? Wrote one of the best skits I've seen on there in years.
Oh, really?
It was the midday news scene, and there's two newscasters that are black and two that are white, and they wind up reading stories, and they're the black people would get really excited when it was a white person that did the crime.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. If you see it, it's really, really funny.
Okay. Yeah, the first season, I watched the first episode of the first season because my friend Michael was like, you need to watch it. It's so good. And I was like, I can't watch this.
It's weird.
This is a little too graphic for me. And he's like, watch the second season. And so I watched the whole second season, and I like the second season a lot. And it's only like 5 episodes.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I watched a couple of them flying. Just
it's short.
Yeah.
So... And now it's done. The whole series is over yeah. with after 2 seasons that have like 5 or 6 episodes. But that's how British TV is.
Yeah.
They don't have very many episodes.
This is too cute.
What?
Max is trying to get Jude to kind of like play with him. And
Jude doesn't know how to play.
No, Jude's a little afraid of kids.
And he just doesn't know how to play very
no,
well
but he, no,
either.
But he's been, Max has been doing a really good job with just kind of like approaching him and not like getting all over him.
Yeah.
And Jude's like, this kid's all right. No, he just ran over to him like, we're friends now.
Like Birch and May will play, you know, like wrestle and do the whole like bowing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jude will just like be kind of near them, just like
he has no idea how
yeah.
to play.
Well, dogs get nervous around
like,
little
what
kids.
Are you doing?
Yeah, but like Max has 2 dogs at his dad's house, so he's
okay.
he's familiar with dogs. And...
Well, and Jude's used to kids. Like my kids don't bug him or anything.
The kids at since we got into a new house are like, can we get a dog? Can we get a dog?
Oh, yeah.
Can we? I'm like,
there are already enough.
Let's just
small
move
mammals.
Our stuff in first.
I already
and
have
then...
45 children.
I know, and
set.
4 cats.
And 4
oh,
cats.
God.
Oh, God.
Why not add another
so
4
maybe.
More links to the family,
yeah,
right?
Why not?
But...
more small mammals, please.
Oh, I tell you.
Maybe a gerbil. Oh, wait, the cats. No, don't
no.
get a gerbil.
Well, I swear, we're tempting the circle of life in our house because we've had birds with cats. That was fun.
We had birds with cats and a hamster.
Yes.
I know.
But
can
they
I
were
get
locked
a guinea
up
pig?
In a room.
Can I get, I'm like, no, you're just asking for trouble. Least yeah. out. Well, we have to take a quick break. We have Kristen Meiser on the phone. She's our next guest. We are promoting... So you want to start a podcast. So this should be interesting, some insights on how to make
so we can find out what we're doing wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure we're doing
a lot
finally
wrong.
Get some tips.
Yeah. I know, right?
Connect it to the internet.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, well, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
What are the things you want to avoid when it comes time to sell your home? Hey, it's Tom with my realtor, Chris Lindahl. If you're like most people, it's things like open houses, staging, decluttering, repairs, maintenance, and all the people coming through your house.
Hey, Tom. The Guaranteed Offer Program from Chris Lindahl Real Estate was created for people like you so that you can avoid the things that you don't like doing when it comes time to sell your home. We have been presenting offers for homes in most price ranges. Homeowners are loving our Guaranteed Offer Program, especially how much money they are making on their home sale without the inconveniences.
So this program is for all price ranges and conditions, including perfectly maintained homes?
Most homes do qualify. To see if your home qualifies, go to chrislindahl.com and click Get Offer right now. Will you be the next homeowner to accept an offer from our Guaranteed Offer Program? Find out now. If you qualify, you will get an offer in 48 hours or less. And the best part is you get to pick a closing date that is convenient for you and close in as little as 3 weeks.
Go to chrislindahl.com right now to see if you qualify or call 763-401-SOLD. That is 763-401-SOLD.
Tom here for Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Right now, Saber and Bryant are teaming up to offer 0% financing for 36 months when you buy a new Bryant furnace. This is the perfect time to replace your old furnace with a new trouble-free, energy-efficient furnace from Saber. And when you buy Bryant equipment, you're getting one of the most trusted names in the industry. This 0% offer is available for a limited time. Call Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning to find out more, and please tell them that Tom sent you. Saber and Bryant, whatever it takes.
We are back here with the family, and on the line we have our guest, Kristen. Is it Meinzer?
Meinzer? Meinzer.
Meinzer, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I don't have the calendar up. I am like multitasking.
Music on.
All good.
I know. That's what happens when you got to kind of co-host, produce, guest booking. But that's what your book is about, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Don't I know it. You're talking to someone who's had your job, so I know.
Yeah, it's a lot of working wheels, that's for sure. But the book is called So You Want to Start a Podcast, Finding Your Voice, Telling Your Story, and Building a Community That Will Listen. It is a comprehensive step-by-step guide to creating a hit show. So You Want to Start a Podcast covers everything from hosting and guest booking to editing and marketing, while offering plenty of encouragement and insider stories along the way. This is a book that I probably need to make things go a little bit more smooth for me, because I tell you, when you're multitasking like I am right now.
I have a quick question. Most podcasts seem to be like subject-based, like they talk about, you know, makeup or, you know, whatever, or movies or tech or something like that. Our show is pretty much a variety show in a lot of ways, which seems to be relatively unique.
Yeah. Well, when you have millions of podcasts out there.
Millions. When we first started, there were literally, I think, 100 podcasts up on iTunes. We've been doing this we've been doing this now for 7 years.
Yeah, we started in 2012, so that was when podcasts were starting to become a thing. But now it's like, what can you do to make your podcast stand
with
out
with all of the podcasts, right?
Amongst millions, because anybody can start a podcast,
and they have.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It doesn't matter if the content is great, but when you see, when people look for new podcasts to listen to, they just see a whole screen full of podcasts, and it's like, so what can you do to make yours stand out amongst the millions? What makes yours unique?
Yeah.
Do you have any insights on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're right. It is overwhelming. I mean, somebody can just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll through Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or whatever you're looking at and not even know where to begin, because there are so many to choose from. And so if you're a content maker, one thing you can do is ask yourself up front, why am I starting a podcast and who is it for? If you don't know the answer to those two questions, I really think you're never going to reach an audience. And I've talked with a lot of content makers who are starting out, and they say, oh, I want my podcast to be for everybody. And I say, if your podcast is for everybody, it's actually for nobody. What you really need to do is figure out who is your audience and is there a community around that already? For example, one show that I hosted was called When Meghan Met Harry, a royal wedding cast, and we launched that show the week of the royal engagement of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and the show culminated in my co-host and I actually attending the wedding itself. Mm-hmm. Now, we knew in advance that there were royals enthusiasts all over the world. We knew there were Facebook communities, some of which had 500,000 people already in those communities. We knew that there were places that we could reach out, where we could find potential listeners, and where we could market our show. And I think people really, if they want to stand out, should be thinking in terms of those two questions. Why am I making it? And who is it for? And so that's the first suggestion I give to everybody who wants to stand out. And then the second thing I always say is engage with your listeners then. Every single episode of the show, do what you guys do so well already, which is, you know, ask people to give feedback. Ask them to call into this number to share their story. Have you ever had a run-in with a celebrity? We're doing a whole show on that next week. Tell us about a fun celebrity run-in. Or if you're reviewing a book, say to the folks out there, have you read this book? What was your experience with it? Or get their reviews on movies. And the more you reach out to your audience on your show, the more that they will reach out to you, and then they will share that show with other people. I can't tell you how many times it's happened with all the podcasts that I've posted.
You know, that brings up, a question. Do you have an idea, and obviously it's going to be different, but how many people actually listen to podcasts live versus download them and listen later? In terms of percentage, so is it like 10% listen live or 30 or...
So it's funny because those of us in the podcasting world don't consider a live show a podcast. That would be called radio. And a podcast is something that is audio on demand. It's much more equivalent to something like Netflix or Hulu. You're consuming it at the time that you want to, day or night. Whereas when you're listening to a live broadcast, that's a live broadcast. So I don't actually know what the difference would be in terms of listener numbers of who actually listens to, for example, This American Life when it's being broadcast versus how many people listen to it when it's live.
Well, and that's what's unique about like our show. Originally, it was just podcast form. You know, they recorded it. You could download it and listen to it on demand. But then Tom decided to do this live digital radio show where we're live on YouTube. But then you can also download and listen to it on demand as a podcast.
Yeah, and we were also uploading it to radio stations so they could use it as content on actual radio stations.
Yes. Yeah, so I think, and that has seemed to work very well to kind of stand out from the regular podcast world, because that way audiences can interact live with the show. And I've noticed with a lot of podcasts, even though they're not live, they will put their podcast up on YouTube. And I think YouTube is a huge marketing tool for podcasts because people like to feel like they're sitting at the table with you.
Oh, that's what that's all about. I was always wondering, because it's like really watching a podcast has got to be kind of dull because you're just sitting around talking on microphones.
Unless it's the supermodel podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that's why Joe Rogan's podcast is so successful, because he has cameras set up on the table, multi-angled cameras. So it'll pan over to the guest, it'll pan over to him, pan over to the producer.
Yeah.
And people really feel like they like that interaction with...
And one thing that he's doing that I encourage all people to do is consider all the different ways your show can reach people. So I always tell people, don't just have it as a podcast. Also make sure you have a URL with a landing page. And then make sure also that you have possibly, if you're willing to do it, I highly encourage people to have a Facebook presence. If you want to, a YouTube presence. But make sure you're reaching your audiences in all the ways they want to be reached. And so that's a great example you gave with YouTube there.
And then how about marketing? I mean, I know since it's a podcast, just because it's on iTunes, how do you tell people about your podcast?
There's a lot of different ways to market a show, and I think a lot of the best ways to do it involve meeting people where they already are. And by that I mean people who are listening to podcasts will hear about other podcasts on a show and be more likely to listen then, versus if they see a print ad for a podcast, they're not necessarily going to move from looking at something to listening to something. But if you're moving them from ears to ears, that usually works better. So one great way to market is, if you're a podcast host, to appear on other podcasts as a guest, or to have hosts of other podcasts appear on your show, or big name celebrities who will tweet out, oh, I just did a great interview with, you know, the folks at the Tom Bernard Show, whatever it is. But bring people on who will raise your profile and make sure you're appearing on other shows. And then also talk to other shows and see if they would be willing to swap promotions with you. So you can say, hey, while you're checking out our show, or when you're done listening to our show, you might want to check out yada, 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 and then have the other show do the same for you. And the more shows you do that with, the more people will discover you. Because if they're already listening to podcasts, you know that's one hurdle to get over is already taken care of. They're already podcasting.
So it's basically digital word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes.
Lots of social media presence with Twitter, Instagram. You know, one thing that sucks about Instagram, you can't post links. People
oh, really?
Yeah. It, you can't. I wish they would. Yeah. It would be nice.
I see. So but can't you reference a website found in my
link in bio?
Yeah.
That's what most people do. Most people just say link is in bio. Yeah.
But one thing that I've actually come across with, especially with like comedians, is that they're under contract with other podcasts and they can't do other podcasts. Like if they're under contract, you know, so it to me, I think that's hurting the podcast world, because you would think that, and I know radio was kind of like that and probably still is, where they don't want people crossing radio stations.
They want this exclusive voice on their station.
Yeah, and that's starting to filter into the podcast world. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is starting to happen, but a lot of us are still free agents. For example, this past year I posted two shows with Stitcher, one with CNN, and in the past I've also hosted with WNYC, and I think that, you know, it really depends. Not everybody is, you know, tied down that much. Most of us still aren't, but it may be, you're right, there's a chance that it could be shifting more in that direction where there are more people signing exclusives, where they'll only appear on other crooked media shows, or they'll only appear on this or that. But for the time being, most people can still move around from place to place. Okay.
So that would only pertain to a person that was doing a podcast for someone else. So it's probably a good idea to own your own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it, it's great. But not everybody, you know, not everybody can do that. Some people really need a lot more help or want to join a network where the network has part of the ownership of the show, because when you're with a network, your promotion opportunities are just so much bigger, and your potential audience you can reach faster, and you can reach a much larger audience faster that way.
Well, that makes total sense, but that's going, you know, I think people need to be careful if they're going to be giving up their control or their content to someone else. I mean, it still is your podcast.
Absolutely.
And if they're going to start, you know, treating it like it's some sort of legal, you know, entity, that's going to, I mean, that's the whole point of podcasts, is that you can do what you want and not have this corporate presence inside your content.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. Some people really want to, though. Like I said, like not everybody who makes movies wants to be an indie filmmaker. Some of them desperately do want to be with like Universal Pictures. And the same is true with some podcasters. Some of them see the biggest accomplishment in the world being picked up by a network or having some sort of relationship with a big entity that they know about. And so I think it's, you know, similar to filmmakers. Some of them want to be indie filmmakers. Some of them actually want to be part of something like Netflix.
Okay.
And like, another thing that's popping up too are these subscription podcasts where you pay a monthly fee.
Right.
Now, like Dave has his True Crime Tuesday podcast. He has great content, but the reason why you pay $5 a month is it's completely commercial free. So you get 90 minutes commercial free, but his podcast one, Beyond the Darkness, he has to put in commercials. So, because that's how they have to pay
the
bills.
Of the syndicator.
Yes, you know, so, but, you know, I hear from listeners, oh, I hate the commercials. I shouldn't have to listen to the commercials. And it's like, well, you got to understand.
Hey, tell them to pound sand.
I know.
It's, yeah, like, it's free content.
Commercials are brilliant.
It's free content.
If you want commercial-free stuff, you got to pay for it. If you don't want to pay for it, you're going to have commercials.
But then they'd complain about having to pay for it.
So that brings up a larger question. When, I think, what you're talking about, and it's obviously the problem that we experience, is cutting through the noise in the podcast world. Mm-hmm. Because anybody with a laptop and a USB microphone can call themselves a podcaster. But do you ever see a fall off? Eventually people will get tired of working for free and doing this, or do you think it's just going to get, I hate to say, worse?
Well, I have a secret for you, and you may already know this. The vast majority of podcasters give up between 6 and 9 episodes in. So there are a lot of podcasts, but the vast majority of them run for fewer than 10 episodes. Because I think a lot of people think what you just said, oh, I have a laptop and a microphone, this will be easy. And they don't realize, actually, there's work to this. There's work to cutting the tape. There's work to uploading it to the sites. There's work to promote it. There's work to do. And then a lot of people then get very discouraged. They think within 6 to 10 episodes, they're not getting the million listeners they thought they would. And, you know, it can be very discouraging and a lot of work, and also on the, you know, The vast majority of podcasters make no money either. So it's a lot of work for no money for most people. So most of them do give up before they reach 10 episodes.
I just had a brilliant idea for a podcast.
What?
It would be the worst podcast ever, and you could play different episodes from different people's crappy podcasts.
Just splice them all together. I know. It is, you know, with me doing all the social media stuff and everything, I'm trying to find creative ways for you know, to bring in new people, you know, because we have our fan base. You
sure.
Because one thing that Tom was lucky to have was the fan base from KQ
Absolutely.
To carry over
yeah.
into the podcast. So he already had that built in. But to try and reach new listeners and people that were completely unaware of the show, that is a very difficult thing to do because social media will, they have this algorithm of who sees your posts and stuff like that. So that's why I constantly hashtag things or put in keywords, mm-hmm. you know, podcast. So then somebody puts in the search bar, podcast, hopefully it'll pop up in their feeds and stuff like that. So it is a difficult way to try and find creative ways for new people to find your podcast. And it also is word of mouth. I'm not constantly telling listeners, thanks for listening, tell your friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a unique way to listen to radio. Well, just content, but
And it does seem to be a little bit age specific too. Mm-hmm. It seems like older people, maybe like over 50, are a little bit more like, what's a podcast?
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to
I mean,
that?
They've heard of it, but they don't really know what it is.
Yeah. And I blame some of that on the name. The term podcast sounds so technical, and then you think, do I have to have an iPod? And, you know, it's not a very user-friendly term. And what it really is, like I said, it's just like Netflix. It's audio on demand. You get to choose when you listen to it. And if it was always just called audio on demand, I think it would be less intimidating to people.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I do think that more and more people over 50 are starting to listen now. A recent study by Edison, which researches the podcast industry extensively every year, they put out a new report. At this point, 3/4 of Americans have listened to a podcast. So
that's
the numbers
huge.
Are going up.
Yeah, they're going up.
They're going up exponentially year over year. Just a few years ago, that number was not even 1/3 of Americans had listened to podcasts.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kristen. It was very insightful. So the book is So You Want to Start a Podcast, Finding Your Voice, Telling Your Story, and Building a Community That Will Listen. Now, is there any way that people, do you have a website or something that people can reach out to you and or look up some information?
Yeah, I'm KristenMeinzer.com. You can also find me on Twitter at KristenMeinzer. Either of those are the easiest way to get me. And yeah, I just love hearing from people. I hear from people every day who are making podcasts, and I love to hear their stories. So feel free to reach out. And one last thing, I just want to say what a pleasure it is to talk to people from my home state of Minnesota. I am a native Minnesotan. It's been great to hear you all. Yeah, you betcha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Oh, yeah, thank you all.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen.
Minnesota Japanese.
Yeah,
I can't do a Minnesota accent.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God. It didn't come out right, Catherine. Okay, well, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Got a special guest coming up in the second hour. This is going to be awkward for me, but I get to interview my husband, Dave Schrader. We're going to talk about the Holzer Files. The new episode airs tonight on Travel Channel. So
Cassie's
we'll be
first
about...
hard-hitting question will be, did you take out the trash?
No kidding. All right, we'll be right back after this break.